Previously on the Sound of Football podcast.
You could argue that Fulham's situation, to what extent is that down to the patronage of their owner? And when he goes, when I say goes, I mean possibly retires or sells, but I don't mean die, I mean wrong, you know. But when he goes, you know, where will, you know, where will his statue be in relation to the Michael Jackson statue is the first big question.
How many Daily Express headlines will it make about the rather questionable surroundings about why he left? But obviously, we don't know if there's going to be questionable surroundings.
We don't know anything about that. We don't know anything about that.
Yes, it's the Sound of Football podcast with Graham Sibley, Terry DeFern, and your host, Chris Oakley.
A very warm welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 81 of Sound of Football. Well, there was really only one topic for us to discuss today, and mercifully it doesn't contain the word Twitter. No, we're talking about the marathon that is the 2010-2011 Premier League campaign. Like any marathon, some competitors have led from the front all the way, while others dawdled at the back of the field as if dressed in a padded rhino suit. Others, meanwhile, of course, showed promise until an unscheduled toilet break in the curbside put pay to their real chances of winning. Yes, we are going to look at the title race, we're going to look at the teams that have gone down, and more importantly, we are going to take that piece of paper out of the safe that we locked away back on show 49, and we are going to check out our predictions, which should be good for a laugh.
No. You wrote all this down, didn't you?
No.
You lulled us into a false sense of security. This was just going to be a nice little pleasant end of season chat.
A little fireside chat to make sure you know Oakley's taking notes.
It's all going to be accusations.
So, you said this. Yes, you were wrong. Explain why.
Your Honour, if I may bring to your attention.
400 words or less.
First witness. We're going to start off. Let's look at the title race. Of course, we knew that Man United would be champions even going in to the final week. However, it turned out that we ended up with, Chelsea second, Man City third, Arsenal fourth. So looking at our predictions, let's get that out of the way first of all. Let's be frank with you. We all got only one position out of the top five correct. None of us predicted Man United would win the title, but then again, you know, they didn't do too well last season. Terry and Graham, you had Chelsea quite correctly in second place in your predictions. I correctly got Arsenal fourth, not something I intend to kind of brag about down the pub, you know. But did you know I actually correctly predicted Arsenal to finish fourth? Yeah, generally speaking, we didn't do too well. But reviewing our predictions as we did, first of all, I mean, Graham, I remember you specifically talking about Chelsea right at the beginning of the season. You quite correctly questioned whether Chelsea had enough talent in midfield and indeed wondered whether they could sort of fight on two fronts, given the fact that they're a little bit sort of thin in places. I think you sort of said that they'd probably go for the Champions League at the expense of the Premier League. Do you, in retrospect, with the advantage that you have there, think that actually maybe they weren't even equipped to go for one out of the two campaigns?
I think it was always going to be a problem for them. I think it was really dependent on fitness levels and whether or not they could keep their first choice midfield there. Hmm. And, you know, looking at it now, so many of their key players are now, you know, getting on a bit in years. You know, Frank Lampard's 32 now. Even Malouda's 30. Mm.
Which we kind of identified at the beginning of the season, didn't we, as well, without sounding cocky.
They lost so much. They lost so many people last season, which is what I say. But I didn't think they would have enough to maintain a challenge. Mm. But of course, you know, the team that I thought would maintain have enough to maintain the challenge didn't either. They only ended up third. Well, only third.
You got closer to that than the rest of us. I think me and Terry had Man City finish fifth. So, you know, I think you were, you know, maybe with another week of the season.
I think I predicted the top four, just not in the right order.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. I wouldn't advise you start playing the pools if you ever get the chance, but because that'll get you nowhere.
Hey, you know, if we had it each way, I'd have been in the money. I'm sure. No, don't do that.
Maybe not. Terry, even you, I think, said Chelsea have got some dodgy players, pointing out John Terry particularly. I mean, it was a little bit surprising. And of course, we can now sort of confirm that Ancelotti's been sacked, as if to underline what disarray they were in. What sort of lies ahead for them next season? Can you see them sort of improving, them splashing lots of money out on transfers? Or have they? Do you get the impression that maybe Abramovich has basically got a bit bored with the whole project?
So you've just slagged off my predictions and now you're asking me to make more predictions.
Yes, that's in the nature of the programme, I'm afraid.
5 minutes after we've just finished the season. All right,
hopefully
fine.
Everyone's forgotten about
it. It's not going to stop me. I'm just composing, just using this as a moment to compose my thoughts.
Buying your time.
I think that there is a strong possibility that Andre Villas-Boas may become the Chelsea manager, but not this season. He will definitely stay at Porto for another season. I say definitely, I mean probably. And I say probably, I mean I've read some guys who know more about Portuguese football on Twitter than I do. And they reckon he's staying for another season. And that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
So I think that what Chelsea will be looking for is a transitional coach.
Goose.
Yeah. So I think we're looking at Goose, who's having a miserable time at Turkey. I think we'll be happy to go back to West London, chomp on his cigars, order his team around, and go from there. I'm not certain how many signings they'll make. I'm not certain about any of that. I think the biggest challenge that the new coach has got to get is to try and get Fernando Torres to start playing football again.
Indeed.
It's
interesting because I mentioned when I was kind of trying to predict Liverpool's fortunes this season, I sort of said it depends if Torres is fit. It's interesting given that that they had a disastrous start to the season. If he'd have stayed there all season at Liverpool, then they could have been relegated by now on the back of his form. He's not exactly caught the place on fire at Chelsea. Any thoughts on whether we're expecting that to sort of turn around? Or is he, I don't know, I get the impression he's really racked with his injuries.
It's impossible to say. We only go by what we see on TV.
Yeah, some way of knowing.
He'll have a clear. One thing we have to say about what Fernando Torres has done is that he basically has had hardly any rest since the beginning of the 2007-2008 season.
Yeah,
because he's played for Liverpool for that season. He's won the European Championship. He's played for Liverpool again. He's gone to South Africa for the Confederations Cup. He's played for Liverpool again. He's won the World Cup.
Yeah.
And then he started the season and frankly, it showed.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to get the summer off. He's not going to be doing any work. He can spend some time on the beach.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We're all looking forward to that. Yeah. And he, I'm sure, will be really looking forward to that. And maybe when he comes back with a full pre-season at his club, fully settled in, then we might see him start to return to form. But I doubt he'll explode back on the scene. I imagine it'll probably be a relatively lengthy rehabilitation. Mm. I don't think Chelsea fans should admit to expect too
think,
much.
I think it's also going to depend on what happens at Chelsea with the revolving door that is there. I mean, I don't know how many players are going to be leaving in the summer. And, of course, who's going to be coming in?
Yes.
No, I mean, I don't know what the transfer market is suggesting for that, but he's got Abramovich decide that it's time to completely flush everything out and bring in a new squad? I don't think he will. I think that it will be very much persisting with the existing squad, maybe losing some players, maybe bringing some in, but no more than that.
But then that's going to depend really on which manager he's going to bring in as well. I mean, is he going to be able? He's going to have to entice a manager with something, isn't he?
If he's going for a long-term choice,
I think even in the short term. I mean, unless there's going to be a truckload of money.
Well, I reckon Hoos will probably say, "Well, I don't mind. I mean, I'll work with whatever you've got." I reckon that's because how he rolls.
Yeah,
but I think, and also in fairness to Hoos, he's familiar with the director of football model. He knows that it's not about in Europe. On the continent, it isn't about suddenly saying, "Oh, well, I've got a war chest." Mm. It's pretty because you say, "Well, I'm the director of football. I decide who comes and goes. You and I work together to achieve this, but I actually make it happen." Yeah. In England, it doesn't work like that. But Hoos, I think, is comfortable with the idea of basically being told, "Well, this is your squad. Get on with it."
Yeah.
Which is why I think it kind of points to him, or at least that's my logic anyway.
quite.
Faulty as it may be.
Indeed. I mentioned Liverpool there just a moment ago, and of course we all had Liverpool in the top five and under Roy Hodgson at the start of the season. They had an absolutely awful start, which of course lost Hodgson his job, and one could say that he went on to better things when he went to West Bromwich Albion. Who thought we'd have been saying that at the start of the season? As it is, you know, Dalglish has come in. He's taken a bit of a while to sort of turn the ship around, as it were, and it looks as though, certainly the word on the street is, that he's going to start sort of bringing through some of the younger players again, back in the kind of tradition of Liverpool teams gone by. That's something I'm sure we'd be kind of looking forward to seeing, would it not?
Yeah, I'm sure it would be.
If he can get them playing well enough, I suppose.
Well, yeah, but of course, if he doesn't have instant results, he's going to have the same problem that Arsene Wenger has at Arsenal. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to say, oh, well, you see, you've lost all your best players and you're not replacing them, you're just replacing them with kids.
Mm-hmm. But I thought the case was that he actually had some money to spend, that they were going to give some money to spend, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, but then again, so is Wenger, but as they're all saying at the moment, there's no value out there, is there?
Yeah. I mean, I think Dalglish's best spending has happened in the winter transfer window.
Of course,
Carroll will prove to be an excellent signing for Liverpool, and Suarez has already proved to be
I still think the problem with Liverpool is that, you know, they've lost Mascherano, they've lost Alonso.
Yeah, and they haven't replaced
him. Yeah.
Which they need to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, what they need is Nuri Sahin, but he's gone to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Well, that's the trouble. Players of that calibre are now at clubs that just simply aren't Liverpool.
I was just going to say Liverpool can't kind of command that sort of respect, unfortunately, as they used to. Yeah, I think you said at the start of the season, Graham, it might have been you actually, Terry, that Hodgson could be the sort of player that could turn the likes of David Ngog into a decent signing, given what he did at Fulham. And I mean, that's just sort of one example of where, unfortunately, he didn't sort of have any success, sadly.
It looked like that was going to happen for about 5-6 minutes.
At least.
Like that.
Didn't
work out for Roy. I mean, we've eulogised Roy in the past. I think that it was very sad what's happened, but now that we look back on the season as an entire piece, you know, it all appears to have worked out for the best.
Mm. Yeah. Is it as straightforward as the general sort of feeling that basically Hodgson is only good when he's at a club that he can kind of develop pretty much from the ground up rather than going to a big club? Is it as cut and dried as that, or was it just this specific club, Liverpool, wasn't the right fit for him?
I think that the stories are that his techniques and coaching techniques are effective but very, very dull. Mm-hmm. And quite hard work, and that it's the squad of players that buy into those techniques are the ones that succeed under Hodgson. And I suspect that Liverpool, and I imagine there's probably a few Liverpool players there who consider themselves to be above that sort of thing.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, it's complex, and none of us are there, so we have no idea what it was really like.
And of course, there are plenty of conspiracy theorists that the pro Dalglish lobby was in full action from day one.
Yeah, I mean, I would sooner. I think it's more straightforward and probably much more likely that they just simply didn't like the way he worked.
Yeah,
and I mean, and then just things just sort of like went on from there. I mean, Jamie Carragher, to his credit, later on, towards the end of the season, sort of acknowledged that the players had pretty much played their part in Hodgson's downfall and had really probably should have done a lot better for him while he was there, which is an easy thing to say when it's all over
everyone's got their payoffs.
But, you know, I mean, but break it down into the simplest terms, sometimes coaches just don't work out. And I don't know whether that means that Hodgson isn't a big club coach. It just means he wasn't a Liverpool coach. And now he's no longer a Liverpool coach, but he is a West Brom coach, and he's having a lovely time.
Yeah, and Dalglish has got his, 3-year deal now?
So, yeah, so everyone is, as you say, everyone's been paid, and everyone's... We haven't been paid, but, you know.
No, we're clear. Still waiting for the letter from Football Ramble to find out how we earn some money out of this.
I don't think that's coming.
No, do you think?
No.
Never mind. Yes, so Liverpool kind of looking as though they're pointing back in the right direction again. It'll be interesting seeing how they get on in the following season. And of course, Man United won the title. Everyone's been going on about how they're pretty much the worst team to win the Premier League title. What have the other clubs got to do in order to basically knock Man U off their perch next season? Because it seems like everyone's been as bad as each other. It's unfair actually to sort of single out Man United as being below standard, because I think probably everyone...
Really, I don't think it is. I think just Man United were just the least crap.
Yeah, well,
and I think you just got to look at their home form and see that's why they won. They won what 18 games at home, 18 of the 23 wins. So
which is more than the others.
18 wins at home, 5 wins away. I mean, that's what won it for them.
That's what made them so unconvincing to watch.
Mm. Yeah, when they're away, they were rubbish.
Because
their
away form was toilet.
Yeah.
By a championship winning standards. Well, actually, by any standards, frankly.
I mean, I heard on the other day that 80 points wouldn't have got them to second place for the last 6 seasons. it's been that sort of season. But all told, they only lost four games, and usually if you only lose four games, then you will.
You're in with half a chance. It's
worth acknowledging, for the purposes of balance, that they are in the Champions League final, and this is not something that is done without having a very, very, very good side.
Yep, semi-final of the FA Cup as well. So they have had some fantastic individual performances this year as well. Some real improvements in certain areas.
And an indomitable will, it must be said.
Yeah, and of course they've had Ryan Giggs as well, and he's been everywhere, hasn't he?
He has been. he's really been everywhere, that guy. Indeed.
Moving swiftly on.
No, it's okay, we can talk about it now.
Oh, can we?
Yeah, because that MP guy said it was okay. Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
Because, like, we're going to trust a Tory MP.
Going to trust any bloody MP. Picking out sort of quotes from our predictions at the start of the season, I did sort of guess that Hernandez would be one to watch. I suspect we probably all felt that he looked like an exciting talent, but I don't suppose anybody really thought he'd do quite as well as he did as a 22-year-old. I mean, he's been knocking in goals left, right and centre, so he's been an undoubted sort of highlight. Strangely, the old own goal scorer didn't turn up very much this year. He had
a disappointing season, didn't he?
Mm, he had a terrible season.
Well, he had let it go to his head.
Yeah.
Apparently he was found in bed with a Big Brother contestant. I can't remember his name though.
Bubble, wasn't it?
Oh dear.
To continue,
if I may. Having said all that, just to kind of really ignore the fact that you're trying to cast Man United in a positive light, there is undoubtedly some dead wood to be cleared out of that Man United squad.
How dare you say that about Ryan Giggs?
Yeah. Well, talk about lowering the tone.
I had a feeling that you might pull me up on that, to quote another lawyer. You've got your Owens and your Scholeses and people like that. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like they kind
Scholes of... Scholes dead wood? I thought Ferguson was desperate for him to stay another season.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. It seems like they, no matter how old they are or how ineffective they are and you know, creaky, they just seem to kind of keep them on. I don't know if Fergie's planning on opening some kind of Old Trafford waxworks at some point, you know, an animatronic kind of thing, when it's, you know, maybe they're just kind of, instead of having dummies, they'll just kind of stick some wires up Scholes' back and, you know, I don't know, they just never seem to kind of go off into the sunset, do they? Man U players, they just seem to stay there forever. But who am I to criticise? They've had a shocking season getting to the Champions League final, obviously.
If the two players that you look at in there, well, there's more than two, but if you look at the old guys, you're looking at Giggs and Scholes. But, I mean, as people have been saying, they've actually been quite consistent. They've played well. The concern is that people are kind of expecting them to just at any moment stop, and they obviously aren't. Whether or not they'll be able to continue next season at the same level, we will only find out. Mm. I think that there's a lot of criticism amongst Man United fans of Michael Carrick. But, you know, they've got, I mean, Valencia... When fit, was playing well.
Great player.
Yeah. Anderson's okay. Park is a fine player.
Indeed.
Nani's a good player, although. But I mean,
one thing I would say is they're not getting a lot of goals from midfield, are they? It's only Nani who's actually...
No, just Nani who's been...
Yeah, which, here. I mean, like, that's something that was always... you could say about Man United, they'd get goals from a lot of sources, but it is really left up to the front men now to get the goals. Mm. I don't know how that's going to affect them next season. Especially if you know, they go on playing... if they play one up front, is that one person going to be there...
Well, I suppose it depends on who it is, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, are they going to persist with Berbatov, who himself is 30 now? All right, he scored 20 goals this season, but
streaky,
really,
though, isn't he, Berbatov?
He is streaky. I mean, he had a real purple patch, didn't he, around sort of like the turn of the year? But you know, he hasn't really scored that many in the last couple of months, has he, of the season?
Don't think so.
So I mean, like, but a return of 20 goals is always pretty good, isn't it? So
Yeah, I mean, if Fernandez improves.
Yeah, I think you could see him starting all the time.
I mean, what do you think is going to happen with Ferguson? Is he going to?
Oh, he'll stay on. Yeah,
he'll stay. I think.
Yeah.
You don't think if Man United win the Champions League, he might say, "Well, that's it, I'm off."
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. No, I think he's a lifer.
He'll make noises. He'll disappoint us again as usual.
I'm just wondering what role, you know, Rooney will have in all this, because like last year he seemed to kind of revert back to this kind of supply role that he had behind Berbatov, I think it was, and this year he sort of tried to be the out and out striker, and it didn't quite happen, and he's sort of switched back a little bit to being the supplier again, and I don't know, it's almost like they're kind of having to adapt the whole time, just kind of squeeze him into some role to get the best out of him, and I'm not sure kind of how his role in the Man U team will pan out next year, but we will see.
For all we know, they'll sell him in the summer.
He could, indeed. He's probably due another pay rise.
Isn't he meant to be going to Man City? I mean, wasn't that deal? You know, he was going to see out the rest of this season after he shafted Man United for a load of money.
Maybe, I don't know.
He's a man of principle, Rooney. I won't have a bad word said against him.
Still find that slightly difficult to accept, but... but yeah, he certainly is a man of principle, Christian.
Principle of getting more money.
Which is a fine principle.
Yeah, it's a principle.
And an honorary word, of course, to Man City, who, although they didn't finish top, Graham, well, they did have a fantastic season by their standards, and to finish third and win the FA Cup. I mean, everyone criticised Mancini. Got to say, maybe not the most exciting team to watch and all that, but they've done well to do what they have. Very quickly before we turn our attention to the relegation spots, what do either of you think about these criticisms that, you know, with so much expensive talent on the field for every match, that actually Mancini should be focusing more on being getting his team playing in an entertaining way? Do you subscribe to that much?
Not really.
From the fan's point of view, obviously.
Well, yeah, I think... no, I don't think so. I think you know, you can start entertaining once you get a bit of consistency, and that's the one thing that Man City haven't had this season is consistency. Mm. They've lost far too many games, really.
Their main focus is on building a team, and building a team out of a group of sort of disparate, very expensive players, and whatever else you say about the way Man City play. That is slowly but surely what Mancini is doing. They've got their live wires in there. I think Balotelli is a joy and a welcome addition to the, to the Premier League on all kinds of levels.
Yeah.
David Silva's a superb player. I mean, Dzeko is a good player, probably just needs the summer to get involved. And with Carlos Tevez, well, you know. Who knows?
We just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and of course, you don't know who's going to be coming in and out throughout the close season.
No, now they're in the Champions League.
There are definitely going to be names coming in.
And they're nailed on for guaranteed Champions League spot, which means...
Kaká going there, do you think?
Well, he isn't supposed to be in terribly good form at the moment.
No, but he's on the market.
He is,
yeah. He'll fit in well, then.
He's good for business.
Yeah.
But arguably, City can now afford to sign players who... Well, I say afford, they can sort of like who they want, but they are able to attract truly ambitious players, top-class ambitious players, who will know that they will play in the Champions League and will know that they've actually got a fair to middling chance of going quite far in it as well.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So they might not need to sign Kaká, because although maybe about 2 years ago they would have said, well, we'll sign him, it's a bit of a risk, you know, but we'll sign him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the Kaká of now, I should say, rather than the Kaká of 2 years ago. They're now sort of saying, well, we don't actually need to take a chance on a player like that. We can actually sign the big shots players.
Especially with all the financial fair play stuff coming in as well, they're probably not willing to buy players they don't need to, as you say.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, to an extent, they might be stockpiling there. They might do a bit of stockpiling beforehand, but we're not quite sure how that's shaking down, actually, that financial fair play thing.
Yes. Not much time left to discuss the relegation spots, but needless to say, you may well remember, if you're one of our more regular listeners, that we all went for Blackpool to get relegated. Sadly, we're not here to be cocky about the whole thing. Although I think, Terry, you said that Blackpool are so bad that they'll end up taking all three of the relegation spots, if I remember rightly. But very sad on the last day that they did end up slipping in, fighting to the very last. And
Terry's sticking up two fingers to you at the moment.
Well, no, I stopped doing it now.
Thanks, Graham, for pointing.
Yeah, he's doing it again now.
Yeah, I need you to be able to tell me these things just so we can maintain this happy relationship.
Mind you, if you'd said that to me, I'd be sticking two fingers up. what do we
think about Ian Holloway's approach? Because of course he came into this season adamantly saying that he was going to get his team playing positive, open football, and of course he did right to the very end. Do you see that as an admirable trait, or do you think he was a damn fool for not sort of thinking about the club's security in the first place?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there are plenty of teams that have gone down completely anonymously over the last few years, and Blackpool, I don't think, will be... Well, they won't be one of them. Hmm. I think you've just got to look at Hull. Hull went for broke when they came up, and it worked for them, all right, a bit on the last day of the season. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a great second season, and you could probably say the same would have happened for Blackpool.
A shame.
Yeah, it's a shame, but, you know, they might be back.
Every chance they'll be back, I think, yeah.
But, you know,
Again, we only got the one position correct out of all three of those. That was Blackpool. I went for West Brom and Wolves in the end. As we mentioned earlier on, West Brom finished well clear. They're 11th in the end, so a great finish for them. And well done to Mr. Hodgson, as we've said. And Wolves just about stayed up by a single point. Those are the two teams I had. I think, Terry, you had West Brom and Blackburn. And, Graham, you had Wolves and Fulham. Anyway, you also said, Graham, at the beginning of the season that you thought that the teams that go down will have probably 40-plus points, and it almost came right, because, as I say, Wolves stayed up. They were the lowest position that was above the relegation zone, and they had 40 points. Birmingham went down with 39, so it almost kind of came right. It was quite an open kind of battle in the end, wasn't it, amongst quite a few teams? And do you sort of see that as a sign of, you know, there's plenty of spirit down near the bottom, or is it just a bit of a free-for-all in the end, would you say?
I think... It's been a very competitive season, I think. It wasn't like there were teams queuing up to go down. I think there were just a lot of teams that ended up taking a lot of points off each other. I mean, you've got to look at the way that things changed around just in the last few weeks. I mean, Bolton, that had been, you know, just below the European spots for most of the season, ended up 14th.
Yeah.
Losing their last five games, I think. And And Aston Villa finished top half.
Yeah, and Birmingham in the bottom three as well.
Yeah, after really they were in the mix for relegation for so long.
Mm, a championship team in the Europa League next season.
Yeah,
maybe two.
Yeah, maybe who's two. As in? Sorry, remind me again. Who's the second one? I'm trying to, because I know that Fulham are going to get the Europa League spot.
Well, supposedly. Well, I mean, we don't know yet, because it's all worked out very, 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 very strangely. But Blackpool could be in line to get the fair play entry.
Ah, instead of Fulham.
Yeah. Instead of Fulham, because Fulham had that. But it could still be Fulham, because it's not done just on red and yellow cards. It's done on referees' reports and things like that.
Ah, okay.
So, it's all basically whoever UEFA want to get in and who hadn't been that naughty and go in. Hmm. So it could still be Fulham. But at the moment, people are saying, oh, it's Blackburn, but there's no actual... No, Blackpool, sorry. Yes, Blackburn, is it?
Can I just say at this point, Barry Glendenning, if you're listening, this whole conspiracy about, you know, Fulham deliberately sabotaging their own entry into the Europa League because they don't want to play there, I just think is absolute hogwash. There we go. I think I've said it now. But, given the fact that they did so well and got to the final not that long ago, I think that was just a bit foolish to suggest that. But that's just, yeah, I just want to put these people right sometimes. You know, they think they're
bloody
experts.
Tabloid journalists, eh?
Yeah,
I know.
So there it is. So incredibly exciting the last game of the season for the teams down near the bottom. I was listening to it on Radio 5 Live, and it was all very interesting. So many teams that could have gone down and didn't. And as I say, it was Birmingham and Blackpool that went down in the end with West Ham. So there it is. That, I think, pretty much sums up our review of the season. What do you think overall? A bit of a humdrum season, as a lot of people are saying? Or were you quite satisfied? Thank you very much with the Premier League.
No, it was fine. It was okay. I mean, like, yeah, it petered out at the end.
I spent most of the season watching the Bundesliga, so and the Championship. So, from what I saw of it, I thought it was fine.
Jolly
good. Glad it's all over, though.
Yeah, I'm very pleased it's all over.
Hmm.
That's the cue for the song, isn't it?
What song?
Oh, God, you ask a Palace fan, you say it's all like, yeah,
over. Oh, you mean, no, that's glad all over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not. We finished fifth bottom. Yeah. In the toilet.
Well, that's pretty much us finished for not just this particular show, but also for the entire season. We hope you'll join us again next season when two of us won't be interested in the Premier League. Should make for exciting podcasts. As it is, before we go, we just want to sort of say thank you very much to all of you who have listened in. All of you have got in touch with us. Even if you haven't got in touch with us, we're just appreciative that you've managed to find us and maybe listen to a few shows here or there. We really genuinely appreciate it. I could easily pick out sort of specific names of people who are sort of following us on Twitter and whatnot, but I'm not going to pick anyone out, because otherwise, if your name's not mentioned, you'll think, oh, thanks very much for that. So let's just say thank you to everybody there, and we hope, as I say, you'll join us again next season. We will be back in August when we'll do this all over again for our third season. Meanwhile, we suggest you...
September.
What was that? Sorry, what?
No, we're in August.
I think we should come back in September.
No, we'll be back in August. We'll be back in August.
Oh, God. It is worth pointing out that we are doing the two-footy tackle Sound of Football doubleheader next week, so kind of be back next week. Although we kind of won't. We will be shoving that podcast down our pipe, listeners. So if you subscribe to us via iTunes and all of that, you will get that. So,
yeah.
But this, yes, in terms of the regular season.
Yep.
It's all over.
Yeah, Two Footed Tackle podcast is back for 1 week only, and they've decided to bring us along just to kind of remind them how to do it all.
Just to make sure that they were certain they did the right thing.
So keep checking the Football Fairground website and Twitter and all sorts.
Big redesign of the fairground coming up as well.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So look out for that, listeners. That's going to be good stuff.
Footballfairground.com version 2. Yes, check out that during the course of the summer. We will be launching that. Anyway, as I was saying, we suggest you go off and have a lovely break during the course of the summer. Come back refreshed. Hopefully we will. And thanks very much again for listening. Join us soon. But for now, from me, from Terry and from Graham, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.